Dan Tangerlini's leaving as administrator of the General Services Administration. He tells GSA personnel in an email today his last day at the agency will be February 13th. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners, writes the Week Ahead newsletter, and here to review the legacy of Dan Tangerlini at GSA. What are the things that you think people will remember his tenure at GSA for, Larry? Thanks for being on.
Sure, Francis. I think Dan Tangerlini's biggest legacy is going to be on the real estate side of what GSA does, public building service type stuff. He's done an awful lot to promote green buildings, a lot to promote downsized federal workspaces, flexible federal workspaces. The agency under his leadership has done a lot with revitalizing federal buildings, not just in the Washington area, but across the country as well. You know, he has also had a lot of his hands full with the federal acquisition side of what GSA does, mostly in terms of things like strategic sourcing, category management, and things like trying to eliminate the price discrepancies between items that are the same but offered by different companies.
What are the things that you would figure it didn't get complete? Things that he started but are still in progress and we're not sure yet how they might have turned out, what the end result will be?
Certainly one of the things I put at the top of my list is strategic sourcing. When he first came in as the formal administrator almost 4 years ago, he really wanted to have a very ambitious rollout of strategic sourcing, doing as many as five a year. I don't know that the agency has done more than five total, and they've all been kind of low-hanging fruit, whether it's rebranding an already existing software acquisition program or the well-known office supplies or a smaller services play like janitorial services. And we really haven't seen how that would play out in something larger, say like IT.
I was struck by the announcement today when GSA released, when their media team released the administrator's memo to his staff. They also put out right underneath it a thing that they called GSA highlights and some of the things that he wanted to lay claim to, I imagine. Administrative efficiency, strengthening the nation's infrastructure, more effective acquisition, better digital services, and of course the last one primarily consists of 18F. But under the more effective acquisitions, they list category management, common acquisition platform, OS3, you just talked about office supplies a minute ago, and the wireless BPA. Those all sound to me like things that he can certainly be proud that happened under his watch.
Well, certainly. They're good achievements, things that establish a beachhead inside the agency and for the government. Excuse me. Things that you would want to see how somebody else would follow on and take the next step with those. But look, regardless of your view of things like strategic sourcing, the fact is he's the first administrator to be able to successfully pull it off. So if for nothing else, you should get credit for that.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And you did not know when you published this edition, the latest edition of the Week Ahead newsletter, that Dan would be leaving. But you mentioned one of the items this week is, why does GSA act like a 16 seed? Now, you're starting this, you understand, in the middle of the football playoffs rather than March Madness. So I know you know your sports well enough to know that. Why do you call GSA, or why do you say they are acting like a 16 seed, Larry?
I think GSA comes into the contracting game, Francis, with somewhat of an undeserved inferiority complex, mostly in the GSA Schedules program, but in some of the other programs that may not have as high a marquee as well-known programs like Alliant and Oasis. So I would include in the underdog view things like their telecommunications contracts. And there really isn't any reason why GSA should view themselves as an underdog. They are the central acquisition agency for the government. The fact is that other agencies get to benchmark off of what GSA has already done. So GSA has a role in making those agencies' lives easier and sometimes in making those agencies look good because they've already done the grunt work beforehand. So I think GSA needs to acknowledge that it's not a 16 seed. It's a number one seed when it's going into the contracting game, and realize that they've got the depth and breadth and bench experience that other agencies can only think about, and use it to their advantage.
You write, Tangerlini's concerned that the IT-70 schedule can't compete successfully against NASA Super or other contracts. I might argue that he's worried about that, but that's what you put in the newsletter this week. And then you point out, in a bad year, the IT schedule does $13 billion more than Soup. And then you say, imagine how well Schedule 70 would do if the GSA dedicated some resources to it and made it clear to COs that GSA and every other person in senior management has their back when making sound business decisions. What kind of incentives do you think would be required to make that actually happen, Larry?
Well, I think need to make it clear in the senior management team that line-level contracting officers that make responsible business decisions are going to be backed up and supported. There's a lot of fear among the contracting corps in GSA today that if they make a decision that they haven't run through legal or through their boss's boss, that they're going to get hauled in front of the IG or perhaps even a congressional oversight committee. That has a tendency to really slow things down, and it kind of puts GSA in a place of going to market with one hand tied behind its back because it can't add the new services and products that customers want to see as quickly as other agencies. So if you make it clear from the senior management standpoint that if you make a good business decision, we're going to support you, I think that that'll go a long way towards speeding things up. It would also be good to have more people doing the actual work instead of pulling people off of the schedules program to work on other projects.
What is the issue that you see, or the good news that you see, about the category management initiative coming out of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, Larry?
Well, I think that's a great question. You know, the more I hear about category management, the more I wonder, Francis, if people just really didn't have a very good idea of what it was when it was first discussed. I had the opportunity just last week to hear more from the OFPP Administrator Ann Rung, who was talking about category management in terms of identifying best practices, not in terms of setting up single points of entry for government buyers, talking about streamlining the acquisition process in terms of reducing the number of IDIQ contracts, which is something that a lot of people in industry support, but not reducing them to the point where, say, everybody would have to go through one agency in order to do an IT project. So I think there's a lot to be learned yet about category management, but I'm not nearly as reticent about it as I was initially.
What do you think has to happen to make it work? Does winnowing it down to just a couple of agencies help, or do you think for it to be really successful, it'll have to get to that one point for each thing that you pointed out a moment ago?
No, I don't think that's in anybody's best interest because, you know, then you have traffic cops who can decide to stop the flow of acquisition traffic for a certain product or service area. Government benefits from a little competition, Francis, just as much as the private sector. So I think we need to talk about reducing things down to a manageable number. I don't know what the right number is. More than one, less than we have today.
Is there a way to know the number, or is it just we'll know it when we see it?
I think there's a way to know the number when we're looking at program duplication. If we find through research and the government's research that we have 25 contract programs that have 98% commonality among them, then we can start to look at which one among those 25 are the best, pick two or three, and let the other ones just go away. Because we don't need duplicative programs. I think you could make a case for having a couple of different avenues, again, to keep competition going, but you don't need 25 things that do the same thing.